This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu.
12:05 here in the studio right now, and it is a grotty, horrible, grey day outside. Hope you're all doing well out there and keeping safe. Frida, it's been a while since me and you have been on the show together. I think last week was the last time.
Better than 2 years.
You know what? We were saying this morning. This morning is the first day in over 2 years that the entire team is in the office together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, there we go. Anyway, Frida wasn't with us yesterday, but we were talking about global consumer trends and what are the changes in consumer trends post-pandemic, and more importantly, what are the driving forces that can be utilized to adjust to and take advantage of these consumer trends for the foreseeable future? The market research company Mintel has identified 5 new consumer trends for 2022 and beyond. And we're going to continue our conversation from the previous episode. We're now going to be discussing 3 other consumer trends: in control, flexible spaces, and ethics checks. So for those of you that weren't with us yesterday, just a quick kind of recap of our discussion on consumer trends. The market research company Mintel has identified 5 new consumer trends for 2022 and beyond. Yesterday, we looked at some trends. These are drivers that businesses can focus on in order to stay ahead of the competition and prepare for unpredictable impediments.
So continuing a conversation, the third consumer trend that Mintel has identified for 2022 is in control. So the pandemic has provoked feelings of precariousness, loss of agency, and extreme financial insecurity. Consumers now want to have more sense of agency, feel like they're in the passenger seat again, to be in control of their lives. What seems to be a byproduct of the pandemic, data leakage and privacy have become many consumers' concern as they're gradually aware and cautious about brands tracking their behaviors, retrieving their personal information, and all that. In fact, the 2020 KPMG survey, more than 1,000 consumers found that 56% wish they had more control over the data, and Google searches for data privacy have increased by 139% from 2012 to 2020. And even for daily routines, 52% of Vietnamese consumers say they have tried or will be interested to trying food personalized to their needs.
Interesting. So what drives this in control trend is essentially rights and values. This means brands need to understand how consumers want alliance in addressing issues that matter to them, and confidence that their personal information is kept safe. Had a few leaks here over the last few days, a little bit worrying, you know. For instance, YouTube suspended Sky News Australia for breaching the platform's COVID-19 misinformation rules. Tackling the spread of misinformation like this is a positive practice that will increase consumers' trust in their brands in the long run. On the other hand, a McKinsey report found that more than half of consumers trust a company more if it does not ask for information that is irrelevant to its product. It's pretty evident that data privacy has now taken precedence over convenience. Sense of control could also be reflected in health and wellness. So businesses could start thinking about what services could be used to let consumers feel and be in control of their nutrition and diet to increase their overall quality of life.
Okay, so looking into the next trend, which is the fourth trend that Mintel projected to see in 2022, is consumers are looking into flexible spaces. So what this trend means is for public and private spaces to maximize their capabilities without discounting their core purpose of being at that space. Take our work from home situation during the lockdowns. We worked and lived simultaneously at home, and some of us set up a workstation, I know you did, or a room to set the boundaries clear for work and rest. It's also reported to Mintel that 34% of Thai consumers find it more convenient as expected at home rather than going to the gym. This is actually a trend of flexible spaces, because as consumers, both you and me will continue to create a dedicated flexible and space saving arrangements at home.
Now, since we are starting to spend more time outside, consumers expect the spaces outside of their houses to be convenient yet safe. However, even though the crowd is picking up more than usual, I'm not so sure if you noticed, but shopping malls and offices still have a lot of underutilized shop lots and office spaces. In 2020, Malaysia's shopping mall occupancy rate had declined to 77.5%, reaching its lowest since 2003, and yet we're still building more. With this persisting phenomenon, Mintel and local experts advise property owners and developers to reimagine and repurpose these empty places into more community-focused commercial places.
Right.
For instance, in India, IKEA is planning to introduce a new shopping mall, or what they call a meeting place, reflecting the local community's need for more than shopping.
Right. And, you know, I get that, right? Because, like in India, space is neat. Like Hong Kong, you know, these highly dense places, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, the new meeting place will set the standard for sustainable mixed-use destination, as shoppers no longer expect to necessarily buy things at shopping malls. They're instead looking for multi-functional community and leisure spaces that bring people together. But you'll buy your food and your drinks, you see. consumers also are looking forward to 15-minute cities. This 15-minute city concept is to accomplish things like buying groceries, getting to the office, meeting friends, and all that jazz, all within 15 minutes. It's called Centrepoint for me. The aim is essentially to reduce congestion, reducing unnecessary travel, strengthening a sense of community, and improving sustainability and livability. You know, do you want to live in a 15-minute city? So, you know, let us know via WhatsApp or Twitter. Of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter at BFM Radio. We know, we'd like to know what you think.
Interesting, the 15-minute city. I remember reading a few years ago about one of McDonald's original business plans was to have a McDonald's within 7 minutes of wherever you are on the planet.
Wow.
That's a bit of a scary thought, right? Anyway, onwards. We're talking about space. We cannot forget the virtual and digital space as well. Our guest, Matthew Crabb, the Regional Trends Director from Mintel at Asia Pacific, will be covering more on a little bit about that a little bit later on. And I'll give you a bit of a clue. There's something about the metaverse.
Okay. So what is the driver to this trend of flexible spaces is surroundings and value. If brands and businesses can provide multifunctional, meaningful spaces, both digital and physical, brands can strengthen their local ecosystems and cater to consumer needs to bond and connect with their surroundings. And the last one I think is very imperative in this day and age is ethics check, right? This links back to our conversation about brand transparency yesterday when you know, you guys discussed sustainability. While we see great progress of brands standing up and voicing the opinion about controversial social topics more than before, however, consumers can no longer be convinced through lip service, but they want to see actual progress, right? So 73% of Singapore consumers told Mintel that they find themselves wanting to learn more about brands and social matters that they're used to. And 62% of Indonesian consumers say they are prepared to boycott companies that are unethical.
Big numbers.
That's a big number coming from Indonesia.
Yeah. So what's behind ethics checks? Value, rights, and surroundings. So this means that brands will need to determine their moral identity to satisfy consumers' growing ethical expectations. A bold example, an Indian jeweler, Bima Jewelers, rolled out an ad featuring the journey of a trans woman.
Right.
And recently, just last week, Calvin Klein held a campaign featuring pregnant trans man. They're both incredibly controversial, but consumer responses were overwhelming with positive comments, such as such a great brand and beautiful. Now, although hate comments are at equal number, of course, it's a starting conversation about sexual inclusivity in the ads that are being shown to the public, right?
Right. And there's something that you as a business should, you know, never do, which is to never give false confidence and impression to your consumers that you're behaving ethically when you're not, right? Business morals must be ingrained in every employee and become part of your lasting business culture. I just want to bring up this, you know, I spoke to Datin Minachia. Of course, it's a listed company now, I can't remember, but of course they brought in the Body Shop, right? And just very interesting conversation how when she first started, she was actually the first, no plastic.
Right.
And then they people who want you charge, and it was like, you know, it was 20 cents or whatever, but it was such an uproar, right? To actually come up with this whole concept and to mean what you say, right? And that took guts. And of course, now that became a trend. And actually, she said one of the things was actually they were the few to hire trans
Really?
Yes. And before that, you know, it was very difficult for them to get legit work.
Yeah.
Right? So it was very, it was not said or publicized, but it was an action.
Mm.
Right, so.
I did not know that. Mm. Okay, so we've run through the five ethics that have been identified by Mintel. Just to recap, employment everywhere, climate complexity, in control, flexible spaces, and ethics checks. If you're running a business and thinking about directions that you can pivot towards and maybe future-proof yourself, these might be good tools and indicators to leverage or revamp your business. Mm. After the break, is joining us again, it's Matthew Crabb, the Regional Trends Director for Asia-Pacific at the Mintel Group. Stick around for that, and if you do have anything you want to talk to us about, as Frieda mentioned, the number is 018-789-8899. That's for WhatsApp. Get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Let's have a short break. We've got some music from Thelma Houston with Baby Mine. We'll be back in just a few moments here on BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frieda Liu.
We are catching up on our story, part two today, of global consumer trends. Some new trends identified by the Mintel Group. Just a quick recap if you're only just joining us. The five new trends are enjoyment everywhere, climate complexity, in control, flexible spaces, and ethics checks. So if you are running a business and thinking about directions that you can pivot towards and future-proof yourself, these might be good starting points for you to be having a look at and listening about.
Mm.
Now, the same as yesterday, we have Matthew Crabb on the line with us. He is the Regional Trends Director for Asia-Pacific over at the Mintel Group. Matthew, thank you for joining us again today. Now, before the show, you did mention wanting to add on to yesterday's consumer trend about climate complexity. So can you tell us briefly again about what it is and you know, we have this additional question when it comes to climate concerns. Are there disparities within the region and in other parts of the world, say between New Zealand and Malaysia?
Climate complexity is really about, it's a trend. It's a trend where consumers are trying to understand what they can do about climate crisis. The complexity is that they're getting mixed messages. They don't understand what it is they can do. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example, is that a lot of people think that recycling helps the climate. If you look at data of what we recycle actually gets recycled, it's not very much. When it comes to climate concerns, there are different things that people want. Essentially, that is driven, again, by broader environmental factors. Mm. So what we see, you know, in terms of those disparities across this region. So say, for example, if you're an Australian, living in Australia, you're going to be worried about sea temperature rises, the loss of the Great Barrier Reef. You're going to be worried about wildfires, droughts. In Thailand, it's about deforestation. In India, it's about air pollution. In Malaysia, it's urbanization, loss of natural habitat, overheating. And of course, this all shifts our thinking about how we want to live and where and what products we want to buy and so on, and how we want to buy them. Now, one of the key things for Kuala Lumpur as a city is that we're still losing green space to concrete. That means that in many ways, what we should be thinking about is how we rebalance our urban areas. Now, how we rebalance our urban areas is also an interesting question. And this leads to one of our other trends for this year, which is flexible spaces and how people are living in those spaces.
Yes, Matthew, flexible spaces. So alongside this trend of flexible spaces, Mintel's research also talked about 15-minute cities. Please elaborate on this concept as well.
Now, what we mean by that is that there are different ways that people use space to connect. Now, the pandemic has forced us to make home space more flexible, more convenient and safer. But it's not just about the purpose of space in the home. It's also the purpose of space outside of the home. And this is where commercial property is starting to see a change of emphasis, I would say. Increasingly, people want commercial public spaces to be more than just places where they buy stuff. The idea or the concept of the 15-minute community, while the idea being that you can get everything in your local area within a 15-minute walk or drive. So you don't have to go into a city centre to get things done. Now, what this sort of then leads us to think about is this whole concept of sort of urban villages, essentially, and how we use local communities, our local businesses. And do we need large city centres to go into that get congested and so on? Or can we live in or less congested areas, greener areas with smaller local businesses? The other 15-minute conundrum is this idea of being able to get your groceries delivered to you within 15 minutes. Very convenient. Mm. Now, one of the things that also happened during the pandemic is we learned to shop online. Along with that, we started to learn how to plan to shop online. Right. So it wasn't necessarily all about faster. It was more about planning things and getting those deliveries when we needed them. Mm. So that's where the flexibility and the convenience comes in. It's about being able to pick the time and place. So 15 minutes, do we really need that? Given that essentially all these dark stores are sending out lots of riders who are burning a lot of energy and causing more carbon to be pumped into the atmosphere. Or do we want to be able to have the flexibility to pick the time that we want our delivery and do longer term planning? Now, that can, again, sort of mean that we're buying more in bulk, which reduces the number of journeys. And also in terms of space, we can think about how we can make those packages and those deliveries lighter and more streamlined. Now, for example, there's been there was a Korean beauty brand that was putting its skincare products into square bottles because they waste less space. So these are the sort of things that brands are starting to think about.
Just little smart little things, right? Okay, we talked about the consumer trend in control, where consumers want to take charge and have autonomy over every decision they make. Besides stuff like data privacy and wellness, what is it, you know, we should be on the lookout for in this consumer trend?
One of the things that we're going to see is the need for price controls. People are going to start being choosier about what they spend their money on. In order to better spend their money, they're going to have to be able to discern between what's the best product for them and their lifestyle needs. And increasingly, they're going to be looking for better information. So this is where brands can come in. They can supply better information about ingredients, give better information about the quality of the product, the ethics, where it's been sourced from, how it's been delivered, the logistics and so on. They're going to be looking for information about the adaptability, the flexibility of the product. Can it be used for more than one thing? So consumers will become much more demanding in terms of better information from brands. But then they're also going to be using more technology. Consumers are using more mobile apps and body tech to basically measure themselves and their own well-being. So this will increasingly see consumers seeking products and services that empower them to make better choices for themselves and also adapt products and services to their particular needs. So this is also not only about information, but it's about flexibility. So that's what we're expecting to see a demand for in the next sort of 18 months to 2 years. Further into the future, In Control is more about how tech-driven solutions and innovations will come to solve consumer needs and problems in an affordable way. Now, many of the climate crisis issues, and increasingly those solutions are coming from new technology. And we see more and more brands and technologies using artificial intelligence, basically to help consumers make better decisions for their particular needs and also the changing needs. And I can't emphasize this concept of changing needs enough and mitigate the problems ahead. But they will also obviously be worried about how the information that they put input into using technology gets used. That's leading us to a situation where more people are understanding the value of their data and expecting to get something back for it. So data is becoming much more transactional. So brands will have to think very closely about what data they're asking consumers for and what they're giving back in return.
Yeah. Data is going to become costly, isn't it? Right. We should probably take a short break. Matthew, get yourself a glass of water and a little bit of a breather. We're going to have some music from Oasis. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. But don't forget, we are talking about new consumer trends that have been identified by Mintel. If you find yourself, you know, and you want to ask us a question or talk to us, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. On Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. Short break. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back. I think that's the first time I've heard that one. Welcome back. This is BFM, of course. You're tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites with myself, Rich Bradbury, and...
Priya Liu.
We're looking back at the five consumer trends, new ones identified by Mintel. Enjoy everywhere, enjoyment everywhere, climate complexity, in control, flexible spaces, and ethics checks. If you are running a business and maybe thinking about the direction to pivot towards, these are things that you should be thinking about right now. We've been hearing from Matthew Crabb. He is the Regional Trends Director for Asia Pacific over at the Mintel Group. We've got a few more questions before we let Matthew go. Frieda, I know it's a question you have about one of your favorite topics.
No. I knew it. This is your question. I know you planted this, but Matthew, how does the metaverse fit into all this?
Well, we don't know yet. It's too early days. Now, I've already sort of alluded to the fact that we've got, you know, hamburger joints, shopping malls, even banks opening up in the metaverse. My question to this is, okay, it's an interesting experiment, but is that really what people want from the metaverse? Mm-hmm. The metaverse came out of essentially gaming. What is gaming for? It's an escape. Mm. So really, the idea of sort of recreating the mundane high street in the metaverse seems not to make sense in terms of what people really want the metaverse to be. I think there's got to be a lot more imagination coming out of what brands do in terms of their preparation for or development of their place in the metaverse. And I think also it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for brands to really think out of the box, be creative, and to create more within the limitations. Of course, digital world, you still can't smell the digital world. You can't taste it. So what's the point of having a hamburger joint in the metaverse if you can't eat a virtual hamburger or taste it? So there are, you know, potential technologies that can help with that. There are sort of, you know, there's the potential to use the real world in conjunction with digital technology. I think the experimentation in the metaverse will go on. I'm hoping that it will become less about selling NFTs and Bitcoins and so on, and more about imagination and creativity, because that's essentially what the metaverse is for. And if the metaverse is the internet 2.0 or 3.0, whatever you want to call it, the whole point of the internet and its development was it was a place to experiment, to create. And it's become corporatized, of course, yes. But it's still a creative space. And I think the metaverse needs to be a creative space for consumers and brands. And I think that if brands and consumers can create together, then they can come up with something really interesting. But just coming up with a facsimile of the real world is not going to cut it.
For sure. Okay. The last thing we discussed was on this ethics check and linking this closely to things like sustainability. Do you think this means that stuff like fast fashion might actually go out of fashion?
And I think that sustainability is not just about the climate. It is about ethical considerations around things like fair employment, fair wages, you know, equality, alleviating the gap between rich and poor. But this doesn't mean that people or brands have to be less fun. I mean, enjoyment everywhere is about that fun factor. We're going to need, what I think we will see is people considering what they buy more or buying less. So is this the death of fast fashion? I think it's going to clip the wings of fast fashion. I think fast fashion has been proven to be wasteful. And people have suddenly realized as they declutter that they don't need so much stuff hanging around them in their lives, because it becomes a sort of albatross around your neck. I think there's an opportunity for slow fashion, for recycled fashion. We're seeing this all over the place. And you've seen that in Japan, using old kimono silk to make new garments. In Vietnam, they're using old Algae dresses to create new pieces. And there's a lot of creativity going into that. And we're seeing young entrepreneurs being able to sort of set up businesses that really recycle rather than just take from the environment. So I think there's that concept of fast fashion is going to change. I think it's going to be challenged. I think quality, adaptability, again, these are the key things for people when they're choosing products, which is why certain fast fashion brands do better than others, because they come up with better, more adaptable goods, or goods that just fit everybody rather than a particular age group or whatever.
Interesting. I'm not a follower, but there's a TV show called Love Island, and I understand it's quite popular. And they have, for the past few years, been sponsored by large fashionable brands.
Right.
Big brands as well, and indeed fast fashion. But they've just decided for the moving forward for the next seasons, they're going to start using upcycled clothes.
Right. And I think that's great for you, And I'm sure you don't watch it, Rich.
Of course not. Absolutely.
Matthew, final question, right? We discuss a lot on sustainability, but do you think the race between convenience and ethics, the convenience will still win?
This leads us back to the consumer perspective. What are the key things that consumers want? Well, obviously, quality. They want stuff that's good quality, safe to use, safe to wear, safe to put into their bodies. They want it to be sustainable, but they want it to be affordable. Mm. And, all of this is not at the expense of convenience. I think people will continue to want convenience. But I think in terms of convenience, I think we need to rethink what convenience means. Mm. Usually it's thought of as just saving time, so the quicker the better. Mm. That's not necessarily the case anymore. Again, I'm coming back to these words, adaptability, reusability, recyclability, concepts about slowing things down, but still being convenient. So being able to plan ahead, making it easier, for example, in e-commerce sites, to plan your shopping ahead, to build up a shopping list over time, and then to plan when you want that to be delivered or where you want that to be delivered. That gives people more flexibility. It's also, therefore, more convenient. So convenience, yes, will still win, I think, for most consumers, and it will be the driver for brands in the future. But I think increasingly brands will have to think again about what convenience means to their consumers, their shoppers, their customers, and understand that that is changing. And they would do well to look into that and measure that need for convenience and how it's changing and what that concept of convenience is changing into in the future.
Interesting stuff. Mm. So there we go then. We've had
a lot of food for thought.
Food for thought. Enjoyment everywhere, climate complexity, in control, flexible spaces, and ethics checks. Flexible spaces is something that we've spoken about a lot. In control is something we've been looking at a lot, and the climate complexity, of course, is something that's been growing and growing and growing. I think we'll do sustainability and ESGs and DSGs is stuff we're going to be speaking about. For the next few years, as we have to do, right?
Right.
I want to thank Matthew for joining us for the last couple of shows. He is the Regional Trends Director at Asia Pacific over at the Mintel Group. It's pretty much time for me and Frida to wrap up, though, for today. Not many messages today. It's been very quiet out there in the WhatsApp land, hasn't it? Anyway, but don't go anywhere. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay with Nicholas Lee, the Vice President and Market Leader at Asia Pacific for Philips Domestic Appliances. They've been around for 130 years. Did you know that?
Huh.
They've got products.
I do.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, smarty pants. products across kitchen appliances, coffee, garments, home care accessories. They spoke to him this morning on the impact of the sales of its business to Asian private equity group, Hill House Capital. What is their e-commerce strategy and the change of consumer trends following on from what we've just been talking about here in Malaysia? That's it then. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon for Enterprise Biz Bytes. To take us out of the show, a little bit of Stevie Nicks with Edge of 17 here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.